So, as we think about your external calling, whether that's to ministry, or whether that's to be an enterprise leader, or whether that's to be using your ministry for philosophy, what you're learning at Christian Leaders Institute, or whatever your program that you develop here at Christian Leaders Institute, a gift assessment is crucial to drill down deep in who you are. So God has a story. That's your internal calling. He has called you to build His kingdom. He's called you to have an eye toward a certain direction. But now you're looking at, how was I created? And we talked about temperament and other of those kind of issues. Today we're going to talk specifically about gifts. I want to make a few observations before I begin this discussion, and we've gladly forwarded to you the information from giftstest.com, and we're grateful that they put that in one organized way. And you know, a lot of people will disagree about, well, that's not a gift, or that's a gift, or that one is. In my attitude, they have a good overview that sort of is ecumenistry. It applies to pretty much non-denominational, ancient churches, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal churches. Our point is not to argue a specific gift, but to just give you the information. And as you are in your local area, with your local mentorship, with your local church organization, you can deal with, is that gift more applied here or not applied here? But when it comes to gifts, remember what we hear about in 1 Corinthians 13, that the most important is love. And never forget, and that's what happens with humans. We can identify our gifts, and then we can compete. My gift is better than your gift. And, in Corinthians, they had it with, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, he follows Apollos. So we've got to get away from any comparison, while at the same time looking seriously at who God made us to be. Here's some observations. First of all, when you think about gifts, there'll be overlap of gifts in every list. So you'll notice that helps might sound like another gift. And there will be overlap. Secondly, gifts and humanity go together, breeding confidence, not comparison. So when we analyze our gifts, and you have that in a marriage, okay? A couple gets together, they both have a different set of gifts and qualities. And what often happens, and I see this again and again, where the differences, the different strengths, become points of friction. And often married couples can, traits related to certain strengths that are the opposite of the traits related to other strengths can cause conflict, rather than receiving this in love and enjoying each other's diversity of gifts and not trying to compete with one another. Number three, some have more gifting. All have roles to play in many of the gift sets. Now, what do I mean by that? When I think about that, in a lot of ways, somebody has like a deeper expression of the gift of generosity or giving. And yet, if we say to ourselves, well, I'm not going to tithe or give to the kingdom because that's not my gift. Hold on. Some may have the gift of generosity, but all have the role of generosity. All of us are called to see what our vision is before the Lord to build His kingdom, and to put our resources, what God has given us, in a stewardly way into seeding the development of His kingdom. So at Christian Leaders Institute, as you contribute, you are seeding the impact of free ministry training. We all have a role to take that serious. But some of you actually have a developed gift of generosity. And some of you, like, for instance, have the ability to do businesses, make a lot of money, only because you want to feed that gift. It gives you so much pleasure to give generously. But there's a difference between role and gift often. Another thing is that sometimes we just have to play roles in areas not in our gift set. I'll give you an example. At Christian Leaders Institute, when we started out, there was really me. Okay? Now, somehow I had to figure out things like administration and all that, which if I took a gift test would not be high on my gift list. But I had the role of actually figuring out how to administer and do various things, and I had to do helps. I had to sweep the facility we were in. I had to, in a sense, all of the gifts. I had certain functions and roles, and I was willing before Christ to do even things that were not in my gift set. And I didn't have this attitude, well, that's not my gift, I'm not going to do it. No. We're called to take a hill. Even though it wasn't in my gift set, and it was still in my responsibility role set. I was responsible as a leader. So a lot of times when there's a discussion about gifts, we forget that we many times have roles. When, again, back to a new married couple. When a new married couple comes together, they might have similar gifts, different gifts, but they all have roles. And somehow they have to figure that out. And if neither of them have a certain gift, they better somehow figure out how to share a role. The garbage, for instance, must be taken out of the house. Number four, when you think about gifts, I like to think about gifts as a curious journey of Christian leaders' growth, not as something that solidifies you in a certain area. And I've noticed that too, where like sometimes I had no gifting. If I were to take a gift test when I first, and I did, first entered ministry, over the years, another set of gifts was developed by the Holy Spirit and experience. So, and I always was thinking, you know, who am I? What is God doing to me? How is the Holy Spirit changing me? And sometimes you receive gifts that you did not receive earlier in your life. Number four, put the word minister after each gift. And I really believe that. I would love, and maybe someday, I don't know how you do that at Christian Leaders Institute, but I could see like administration, minister, ordination. You know, and sometimes we already do that. But I like that idea of like these gifts that we recognize and notice how these gifts intersect with ordination and minister level ordination. One more thing, and this is just number six, and you didn't even, you know that I'm giving this one, it's not in the paper, is, okay, so let's say you're not going to go into church ministry, and you're here for the Enterprise program, or you're here out of the Restorative Justice program. I think this is excellent to think about, not only for your volunteering at a local church or local ministry, but this analysis will help you in your calling to be a better business leader, a better local business leader. And it will help you run your company better because in a lot of ways, this is revolutionary thinking from the Bible. That the Bible just, it was like Holy Spirit genius. To some are called to be this and some are called to be that. It was like recognizing the diversity of all of us and applying this to building the church, which has been here now for over 2,000 years. Well, think about your business, or you know, think about anything you were to do, anything. A family. It's about gifts and different interests and temperaments and all that, but where are those areas that God has created in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, an excellence that you even are more happy to use that gift, and you're more willing to use that gift, and you're very effective. Now, I want to say one more thing real quick. Sometimes you can get a gift in an area, but it's just not an interest. And then we talked about that last time. Like, there's a lot of people who are gifted in a certain area, but they have absolutely no interest to do that. And I find you can't force someone, and you can't force yourself to say, oh, I have this gift, but I have no interest in that area. All these things, internally, the calling, but also the external things, the things that are observable, I believe, need to match to be that fit to do ministry. So let's talk specifically about the different gifts. The first one, we'll do it alphabetically, is administration. The gift of administration is the divine gift or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. In Luke 14, Acts 6, and 1 Corinthians 12 are examples of the application of that gift. So, administration, you know, be able to organize tasks within a business, within a church, within a family. That is a gift that we see that God gives image bearers and people renewed through Jesus Christ. Apostleship, the gift and or role. Now, I put it that way because there's debate. Some people believe that apostleship ended with the apostles, and that the gift of apostleship or the role of apostleship is no longer there. I would tend to believe that the role of apostleship, and I'm going to call it even the gift, exists in the function of starting new things. It's the divine strength or ability to pioneer new churches, new ministries, through planting, overseeing, and training. I would say that apostleship is one of my gifts and roles. And though I am not an apostle, like the Apostle Paul was an apostle, the function of starting new things is something that is definitely within my gift set. It's in my temperament set. It's in my interest set. It is my calling set. And I am passionate about starting new things and creating new opportunities for ministry training, for the reaching of the world who would never get opportunities to do these type of things. And there are several passages you could look at yourself that all talk about the apostleship function. There's craftsmanship. The gift of craftsmanship is the divine strength or ability to plan, work, build with your hands in construction environments to accomplish multiple ministry applications. So remember, the word ministry is to serve. I just think of anybody in the trades who's a Christian, you're utilizing that gift maybe at church, and you're also in your work, and or maybe you're an artist. There's lots of forms of craftsmanship. And what I like about craftsmanship, it's an image-bearer type of gift that harkens back to Genesis chapter 2, where we read about male and female and the great cultural mandate to subdue the earth, to be a steward, to create, to name the animals. All of that stuff to me is craftsmanship. And we, in a lot of ways, we all have roles in our creativity on that. So we all share an aspect. But some, and my dad was a craftsman. He was a welder, a mechanic, and he would, even in retirement, he would weld these grills out of like barrels that Christian camps use throughout the Midwest of the United States. And he took pride in utilizing his gifts in his person for ministry. And still to this day, though he did some of these grills over 25 years ago, they're still in use at Christian camps, you know. And I just love that craftsman aspect of the spiritual gifts. And again, these apply for work-related things, enterprise-related things as well. Discernment. The gift of discernment is the divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations. Now, discernment is one of those beautiful gifts, and I believe a lot of people have this gift, and we have to be careful about that gift, because that gift could be used by the evil one to be a critical attitude. But I will tell you, I look for discerning people who have that gift to help me make major decisions. But the kind of people that I like are the ones who, when asked, they share that discernment gift. the people that are very difficult to work with are the ones who have this gift possibly, but they're not people smart. They just like blurt out what they think you should do through their discernment. And then I feel like they're not discerning their role as discerners. So do they have the gift of discernment? You got the idea. Evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the divine strength or ability to help non-Christians take the necessary steps to become born-again Christians. This is one of the gifts that the Lord has blessed me with, and as a church planter, I have loved the opportunity to share the gospel over and over and over again. We have a class on evangelism with Wren Brookhaven, and I just love that class because you know, it's a class to develop your gift, but also your role. Sometimes you are just called to share the gospel. You may not have the gift of evangelism, but you are called, when asked, when needed, to exercise that gift of bringing someone to know the Lord. Exhortation. The gift of exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. You know, I call this the coaching gift. The gift where you're basically, that a way to go. Get back in the line. Now again, be careful with this, that this is more like a gift that is done in a mentoring relationship. You know, if you just go into a group of people and you don't really know them, have no relationship, and say, "Hi, I'm Henry. I'm here to coach you all on how you should like take this hill and that hill." No, no. A lot of times the exhortation gift is connected to leaders who have relationships, and these relationships of people recognize you as a leader, and they want coaching. They want to be brought where you are in the Lord or where an organization needs to be. But that is a definite spiritual gift that is illustrated in the Bible. As if you're working with an enterprise, if you're starting a business, an ample amount of exhortation is crucial as you build your team. Faith. The gift of faith is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every area of life. That's another gift that the Lord has granted me with, and I tell you, okay, so yesterday I was in the car and I was talking to someone on my hands-free, and what happened was somebody called with a number from the Grand Rapids area, and I let it go. So now I'm driving and I'm like, Lord, is there a reason this person called me? So I called that person back. And that person said, I said, "What's your name?" The guy's name says, "I'm Phil." And I go, "Hi, Phil, I'm Henry. And what's your last name?" He told me his last name, and I heard that last name. So I said, "Hey, I knew some of those in that last name in Chicago. Are you connected?" We got talking, blah, 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 lots of talking. And we kept talking, and it turned out that he is a Christian. He's a business owner. He owns an art internet site with all sorts of Christian art and all of these other things. We're now going to schedule a meeting, and he texted me about how neat it was that we had this providential meeting, and he claims that I called him, and like just before he missed the call, he was calling me back. And I was on the phone with my daughter, Anne, so I didn't call him, so somehow the Lord made that connection. Now, I want to go back to faith. I sort of feel that way about all our lives. Here we are in our lives, in our connections, and you know, we're looking at what is God going to do today? And what person might come into our life? What new opportunity comes into our situation? That's a beautiful gift in enterprise, to start a new business or in work. They give that curious, "Lord, what do you have for me today? Who do you have for me to meet today? And I will go forward and give me discernment if I should not waste my time in this direction. But give me the ability to see that you have a plan." Giving. The divine gift of giving is the divine strength or ability to produce wealth and to give by tithes, offerings, for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God on earth. Before we talk about giving, there is the gift of giving, there is the role of giving that we're all part of. Healing, the gift of healing of the divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by the laying on of hands for the physical healing, for the healing of physical, mental, or spiritual sickness. Healing can come from prayer spontaneously or through doctors. Healing can be the healing of heaven, and someone can actually have the greatest healing of all, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had the gift of healing, and God said no to him, and he left Trophimus sick in Miletus, 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. And there's several passages on this. Let me talk real quick about healing. This is what I have seen over the years. I have prayed for someone's healing, and it was as if they were healed on the spot. I prayed for others, and it was healed through medical care. It was like the mud put on the eyes by Jesus. I have prayed for healing and faith, and the person was translated to glory. This is what I've learned in the whole thing. Number one, is I am not going to try to accuse someone that they don't have enough faith if the answer to the prayer was, no, I'm taking this person home to be with me. Praying for healing is a very intimate thing to do with the Lord. It's like Hezekiah asking, and he received, you know, more than a decade more of life. It's for purposes sometimes that we don't see. I remember praying for one woman and a man within a week period. Both were healed. They were given each 5 years to the month. And the thing that we prayed for healing came back. But when we prayed, the cancer was completely taken away for 5 years. Then I've seen in that same time period, another woman we prayed for who was translated to glory within a month and had cancer that we prayed for. I have seen the beauty of healing, and I've seen the beauty of translation to glory. We read in Psalm 86, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints." So, you know, that's precious too. And there's a gift of healing that can be expressed even in the passing away of someone. God is always at work. So we might be asking specifically for the healing of someone. They're translated to glory, but as we're praying, the presence of God comes into that situation, and a child far away from God is somehow reached because the mortality of their mother or father so illustrates that there's only one hope, is Jesus Christ. So you prayed for this healing, and then I noticed another healing occurs. One more thing we can talk about here. Is there a gift of exorcism? You know, in a sense, the healing of demons. And while that is not on this list, many include something that on the list. And I do believe there's spiritual warfare prayer. But again, is there a gift of exorcism? That is very controversial within the Christian church. I bring it up here because it's important to talk about. I have been used by the Lord to cast out demons. Is that a gift of exorcism, a role of exorcism? I just have saw the healing when the demon was removed. I have met people who specifically I observe that they have an extraordinary spiritual warfare gift. So, you know, I put that under the healing place right here. But know that this list is not necessarily exhaustive of all possibilities. So healing is an important gift. And again, never make healing about works righteousness. And what I mean by that, and then it's like, oh, you didn't have enough faith or that person was going to be healed. I look at if Paul's leaving someone sick in Miletus, here's Paul, it said, whose handkerchiefs touched people and they were healed in the book of Acts, and he leaves someone sick. That means it's not a merit thing. I can't see that the Apostle Paul had lack of faith and then also left someone sick. You got my point. Helps. The gift of helps is the divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accompaniment of tasks in Christian ministry with the ability to see the need before others do. My mother has a gift of helps. She would just see something before it was even on anyone else's radar screen. Ever the powerful gift. Hospitality. The gift of hospitality is the divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environments for others in places such as your home, office, or church. I believe this gift is one of the most neglected today. And I actually believe people have this gift. And it's sort of frustrating to me what I've seen many times, where people want to meet people in neutral places instead of just welcoming into their living room and sitting with them and talking. And I'm just going to challenge, you know, we talk a lot about race relations and so forth and evangelism and whatnot. I always have this rule maybe it's more than a rule to me, maybe it's an observation. Will you have your neighbor over? Will you have someone not your race over? Someone not your, quote, rank, unquote, over? Will you invite them to your house? Will you generously offer your bathroom? If you're in America or a Western world, you know, many people are just so worried about germs and all that other stuff. But I look at, like, do you love God's creation and welcome them? I've noticed that churches often stagnate. And if there's one thing I've noticed is that hospitality has stagnated. I remember one church that I was called to restart. They had very little money, and I was part of it. But they had a lot of programs. So basically, I said, let's just cut a lot of programs and do one thing well. When someone walks in the door, let us offer hospitality and get that person to our homes and that family. And you know what I noticed is that the Lord used that in a powerful way, and that people started coming to our church. We had no programs, but we had exercised the gift of hospitality. So this is an important one, and it's often very neglected today. Intercession. The gift of intercession is the divine strength or ability to stand in the gap in prayer for someone, something, someplace, believing for profound results. I love this concept of walking around a neighborhood and praying for the neighborhood you live in. I love for those who have that intercession gift, they exercise it, and I have a role. You know, that you say, is that not my gift? When I think about intercession, often I'm interceding for someone at night. I'm thinking about them, I'm praying for them. But there are people who actually spend hours interceding for others. And that is a spiritual gift. Word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge is the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation. This is often accompanied by a word from God. And again, the strength of this is that the Holy Spirit does give people intuitions. But again, because we have fallen humanity, we're fallen, we're broken, we have to be very careful about this gift that we don't use what's called the God card. Like, let's say, you know, we're praying and we all of a sudden think of something. And then we go over to our neighbor and said, the Lord told me that you need to sell your house. Or the Lord told me that this scripture passage applies to you. Now, the Lord may have said that, but we also have to trust the Lord is speaking to them. Now, if someone approaches you and says, you know, I'd like to know if the Lord lays on your heart something, and here's my problem. And then they ask you, then exercise that gift of word of knowledge. Leadership. The gift of leadership is the divine strength or ability to influence people at a level while directing and focusing them on the big picture, vision, or idea. So there's several passages on that. Leadership, you know, show me a leader, show me their followers. You know, if someone may say they're a leader, but if no one trusts them, no one sees that gift, maybe their leadership is more limited. But everyone still has the role of leader. You lead yourself in your walk with God. You lead your children if you have a family. So again, some may have the gift of leadership, but we all have somehow a role of leadership. Mercy. The gift of mercy is the divine strength or ability to feel empathy and care for those who are hurting in any way. You know, in 2015, in the last quarter of that year, my mom passed away, and she had to be in a nursing home. And I saw in this Catholic charity hospital vivid examples of people, believers, who had the gift of mercy. And I was amazed that how God had given that gift of mercy in the eventual passing of my mother on the last day of 2015. And many of you have that gift of mercy and apply that gift. Miracles. The gift of miracles is the divine strength or ability to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction. You know, many people say, well, do miracles happen? My answer is, they do. Do some people have the gift of miracles, how the Apostle Paul had the gift of miracles? And I have seen many, many miracles. But one thing I've noticed, today, the miracles, from what I have seen, and I don't know where you live, that those miracles bring glory to God, and there's a purpose to the miracles. Because, you know, as I look at it, I have come to believe that Christianity is not to be branded or reduced to the miraculous, because it is the miraculous. Resurrection from the dead is the miraculous. A new life in Christ, conversion, is the miraculous. We don't want to, you know, be branded as Christians are the ones who just perform miracles everywhere, because we actually are the ones who believe the whole earth was created by God, the whole universe, and that He created these wonderful laws of creation that consistently work themselves out, but in relationship to our Heavenly Father. We pray that sometimes what seems should be a natural outcome is touched by the hand of God. And I have seen that. And in ministry, I've seen that. And anytime we get a word of knowledge, that's a miracle. Anytime we get direction, that's a miracle. Anytime someone becomes converted, that's a miracle. But we don't want to be kind of like the wow Christianity, where we're taking attention off of Christ and His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His kingdom. Pastor, shepherd, the gift of pastor, shepherd, is the divine strength or ability to care for the spiritual needs of others by nourishing and mending life issues. And a lot of times, this is what a local church will call a pastor with that gift. Now, part of that gift is many, many other roles, but a lot of times a pastor is considered that person. Or prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the divine strength and ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people into a right relationship with God. Hey, that's a preacher. Now, sometimes you'll have a pastor that's a pastor but doesn't really feel comfortable about preaching, or you have vice versa. But again, in the body, all the gifts are there. So there's the preacher, who may not have the strongest gift in pastor, but then may have shepherding ministers or shepherding elders to help that preacher, if the preacher's gift. You know, and a lot of times too, what you start out as struggling with, let's say preaching, you start developing who you are, and the Holy Spirit gives you more of that divine gift of communication and so forth. I tell you, all these gifts amaze me. Their service, the gift of serving others. To me, this is very similar to the gift of help. Is the divine strength or ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. How I believe is different from helps is that in the gift of service, it's like that customer service attitude. Like some people can just see tasks, want to do it. They have the attitude of service, and it's not specifically related to any specific skill, or instead it's related to just sort of that servant attitude. Actually, as I think about it, I probably would have put them both together. Helps and service, very similar. Teaching. The gift of teaching is the divine strength or ability to study and learn from the Scriptures, primarily to bring understanding and depth to other Christians. And I love listening to great teachers. I mean, Dr. David Fettes, who you're going to be exposed to at Christian Leaders Institute, is a great teacher. He loves teaching. He's articulate. And we all know great teachers. You know, preachers are often the ones who, like, get you motivated. Teachers are the ones who, like, give insights that you've never saw something that way. Tongues and interpretation. The gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to pray in a heavenly language to encourage your spirit and to commune with God. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by interpretation and should be used appropriately. This gift is not meant to divide a congregation or meant to mean that someone is not a Christian if they do not have tongues. Again, this is an area where there's much controversy of division in the church, and it really should not be. Word of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through the applying of Scripture in practical ways. Where the word of knowledge, it might be just something really quick from God to a situation. The word of wisdom is sort of like, you know, how to act in a certain area. How does Scripture relate to your worldview right now? How does the path of your life connect with the Word of God? And what's the Holy Spirit saying? I mean, in other words, there's just people who are just wise, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. These various gifts, and there's probably more. And there's different debate on, you know, combining some together. Like I just said, I would probably put helps and service together, but I took the list from this website because I thought it was overall a good list. And, you know, maybe some people would put exorcism in there and others would not. But as I see this, it is helpful. And there's a test that you can take at this website. It would be very helpful for you to take. It's a free test. And see where the test indicates you are. And test what the test says with what other people say about you. For instance, if you say that, you know, hey, you know, I have the gift of teacher. And then you say, do you like it when I teach? And if people are going, yes, enthusiastic, yes. You know, you can sort of get that confirmation. As I look at the gifts, I just want to reiterate one really important thing. Do not compare yourself to others. Stay totally humble. Enjoy the curious conversation and grow. And let the gifts be that which help you get mile markers of how you are confirmed in your calling for ministry.